This episode of Off Property is brought to you by our friends at Off to Neverland. They're a great organization you need to get in touch with to make sure you plan the perfect Walt Disney World vacation. Connect with the Magic Maker. Go head over to their website. You should read their story, too. It's great. They're not just Disney fans and Disney enthusiasts. They are, but they're also Disney experts, and they'll make sure you have the perfect vacation. They'll plan your itineraries. They'll handle everything they can, really, for you to make sure they get to know you and know everything about you. Their website is gotoneverland.com. Again, gotoneverland.com. Their WDW Today weekend packages are still on sale right now, and you can find out more about that by just reaching out to them. gotoneverland.com. And now, on with Off Property.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, Off Property.
All right, welcome to this very special off-property episode of WDW Today. We had a really great opportunity to talk with some people that made the movie Zootopia and some other people you're going to like. Keep listening. The first guest we had on the show is a guy who actually had something to do with making the film, not just someone who's seen the movie, loved the movie like a lot of you have or a lot of you going to this weekend. This was a great connection, a friend of the show, Armand Serrano, who works in VizDev at Walt Disney Animation. Again, he's a good friend, a good guy. We got to get a little bit of background on what's happening in the background of Zootopia. So let's take a listen to that. We are thrilled at WDW Today. I know you've kind of teased it a little bit, but this is our Zootopia special. And we are thrilled to have on a good friend of ours and somebody who helped put together this amazing film that I'm looking forward to seeing this weekend. Armand Serrano, thank you so much for joining us today on WDW Today.
Hey, you're welcome. Thanks for having me, Logan. It's always a pleasure to have a chat with you.
Yes, absolutely. So people who maybe aren't familiar with your work, what did you do specifically on Zootopia, this new film by Disney?
Okay, so, I'm a visual development artist. And what I do is early on production, well, actually in pre-production, when we have a script or even just a treatment on a story, we started working. So we're the preliminary artists that would jump in there. And I focus mainly on environment. So I'll be the one to create somehow based off from the story or a treatment. I'll be the one to, together with other visual development artists, I'm part of the team that creates the world that the characters would live in. So if you're looking for something specific on Zootopia, watch out for the Natural History Museum, also the Jumbo Pop and the Mayor's Office. Those are the main locations that I had a big hand on. But at the same time, I had I pretty much touched every part of location in the film, but those two are the main ones that I designed.
So what was it like designing different areas of, it seems like a very expansive world that's in this movie. What was it like designing this city, especially one that, you know, is theoretically built by animals?
It's fun. It's a very challenging task. It's an anthropomorphic world. So considering that you have mammals of different sizes, you have an elephant and you have a rodent, and and you got medium sized animals like a bull or a cow. So imagine if the city would be built by animals in different sizes. So you will have architectural elements that come in different sizes as well. For example, you have a freeway. A rodent has to have their own lane too. So you have a really tiny lane, which is adjacent to a huge lane that could be used by an elephant. So these are the challenges that we had to deal with right at the beginning. You know, how can we put different a variety of structures, and still it wouldn't look chaotic. It would still feel that there's an order and there's a almost like a city planning that came with it. So in that regard, it was really fun for me as a designer to create something that's familiar, but at the same time, something that we haven't seen before.
Do you get to introduce some some of your own humor or creativity in some of those little elements, like with the, like you were talking about the elephant and the rodent having opposing lanes in the on the freeway. Is there a little bit of that kind of creativity going on as well?
Oh yeah, yeah. Not much in the freeway though, because freeways are freeway. But let's say in, you know, I live in LA. It's freeway everywhere. I mean, that's, I don't know if there's something something that I could add to it. But yeah, this is let's say for example in the Jumbo Pop. Jumbo Pop is it's a diner, you know, run by elephants. So everything's elephant sized. Then Nick and then his friend will come in and you know they're tiny. So when they go inside, every element that I had to put in the architecture of the diner has to have some either obvious elephant theme to it or some subliminal elements that tells you this is for elephants. For example, you know, I got some columns that has the base of the columns are actually elephant teeth. You don't recognize it to begin with, but once you go in, that's like, oh yeah, that looks like an elephant. With elephant nails or toenails on it. So also there would be some like shelves, like a shelving structure on the wall, built in on the wall. You don't recognize it to begin with, but actually it was based on an elephant a facial structure. So I always believe in the power of the subliminal mind, the subconscious mind, and in design it's very, very effective. You know, those elements are the ones that convey that sells you the message that this is built by elephants. You don't see it right away, but you can feel it. You know, you can experience it once you see the design.
Did you guys do any special research to kind of dive into the elephant world at all?
Dave Getz and Matthias Lechner, the production designer and art director. They and Dan Cooper, the assistant art director, they already had a hand on what the feel of the location should be. So they did a lot of research ahead of time. So when I came on board, there's a bunch of things that's already been said. So, but in terms of the elephant, yeah, I mean, I don't have to really dig much about the elephant.
We all know elephants.
There's nothing. I don't think there's anything more. Secret or mysterious about the elephant, but I mean there's some gags in there. I don't want to spoil it because there's probably some listeners who haven't seen the movie yet at this point. But yeah, but there's some elements in there that, you know, they're pretty stereotyped, but at the same time there's some things in there that, you know, especially the scale, you know, you get these massive diner, then you get these two tiny characters coming in there. So it's even scale itself has the fun element once you see it. You know, it's something so ridiculous. It's something that's so funny and at the same time it's welcoming and it's not something that it looks odd. It's something that's for, you know, so much fun. It would communicate fun for the viewer. So every time I design stuff, I try to think like a child. You know, when I was a kid, you know, what are the things that make me happy? You know, what make me want to draw things? And I always include the fun element, the kiddie element in there when I do my design.
How did you end up getting into animation and how did you end up at Disney?
I tried to go into fine arts. My dad, he was the one who's going to pay for my college. He said, maybe you have to, you know, go for something more technical. So I took engineering. So I finished civil engineering in college. But I knew when I finished the course, it's not really meant for me. So I tried to practice what I learned, and I work in a construction company for like 2 months, and I was so bored that until my wife, we were dating then in college, and she was still in school, she was still in college when I graduated, and she has she's majoring in communication arts. So they have a subject that they had to do some storyboards. So I would do storyboards for them for her class. And one of her classmates, her sister, works for Hanna-Barbera in Manila. They have, I mean, they used to, we used to have, these are the early days of outsourcing in Asia. So we have a Hanna-Barbera studio in Manila. We have, actually Disney TV was there. Everybody's working on Saturday morning cartoons. So yeah, my wife's classmate, she introduced me to, hey, there's a Hanna-Barbera studio. Maybe you'll fit there. I mean, what you can do here, you should try it out. So I did. So I started to be an in-betweener, you know, hoping to be an animator in the studio. So they gave us a 6-month training. And I got into the cut, so they hired me full-time. Then after a year, I learned that I don't like animation. I like doing layout, doing backgrounds more than animating. So I moved to a different department. So when I migrated here in the U.S. in 1996, I took some more classes in background design and layout. Then I ended up... having actually Paul Felix, one of our production designers at Disney, he was one of the instructors that I had in school. And my portfolio, sent it to Disney, Warner Brothers, DreamWorks, everybody. Big studios. And everybody, you know, whoever takes me first, you know. Disney got me, and they relocated me to Florida to work on what was then The Legend of Famulan. So I stayed in Florida. So for Florida listeners, you know, I lived there for 7.5 years. I did, you know, Mulan, Lilo, Stitch, Brother Bear, and Tarzan while I was there until I moved back to LA in 2004. So that's how I got to start at Disney.
We have a lot of people, obviously, that listen to this podcast that love the parks, excited to see Zootopia in there. But you worked, theoretically, in the parks. We had another animator on, a former animator, your friend Tom Bancroft, on a few weeks ago, and he talked about that. But quickly, just shortly, what was it like for you working in the studios that was also part theme park attraction?
Oh, it was great. I get to go into the park almost every day because we were located... I don't know if it's still, I don't think it's still there, but maybe, I'm not so sure, because I haven't been back for a long time. The Fishbowl, we were part of the attraction at MGM Studios, so we were in the back part of MGM. So almost every day, we have this access, the cast member access, so I can, you know, we will have lunch, we'll just go to the cast member access and we'll end up in the park, so we could have lunch in the park and go back in. Or sometimes, you know, I would ride down to the backlot of Epcot. That's, you know, what a privilege it is to see what's going on behind, you know, the Disney World park. So that's a great experience for me. You know, it was fun.
Well, when it comes to Zootopia, you mentioned that obviously you've been working animation for a while, and you mentioned that when you came into the project, it was already 1.5 years in. Now, I know briefly you mentioned this project to me 2 years ago now when we saw each other in person. How long have you been working on Zootopia, and what was your first impression when given this concept?
I think almost 2 years that I worked on the project. Yeah, almost 2 years that I was in there. And at some point when I finished Brother Bear, they would ask the artist, if we have a choice, which next project we want to work on. So I was going through the list, and we have exciting projects always at Disney, but from what I have done before and what excites me, I'm always excited doing anthropomorphic films. And so I saw Zootopia in the list, and I'm going to be working on animals again, you know, and creating worlds that was built by animals. That's my niche. I mean, that's something that I love doing. When I was at Sony Pictures Animation right after, you know, when our studio shut down in Florida, I moved on to Sony from 2004, and I stayed with Sony Animation for 9 years. I was involved in different productions, but the best production that I worked on while I was in the studio was Surf's Up, because again, it was very anthropomorphic, and Yeah, so I'm always excited working on different projects. It's just, you know, that's just my personal choice. So when I get back at Disney to work on Big Hero 6, I was so excited with it, you know, working again with some people that I used to work with. But when they asked me, since they asked, you know, if I have a choice to work on the next film, I pick the one, obviously, you know, that has a lot of animals in there. And
yeah, I actually had a question about that, about you did work on Big Hero 6. And
it's a fan favorite.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that you brought up you had that background in civil engineering and some of the construction world. So I thought maybe, oh, Big Hero 6 may be more right up your alley, but it sounds like you prefer the animal world a little bit.
Yeah, I guess it's just the way I draw. It's ingrained in me. I mean, I draw a lot of organic stuff. When I took engineering, I mean, it now forced me to be more technical, you know, to be more precise. But that background, the engineering background, it was very, very useful. I guess I think in a more technical way, in a more like an engineer. So every time I look at things, whether it's a prop or whether it's an organic location, it has to somehow make it look like it's working, it's workable, it's functional, that they structurally sound. Because even though it's built by animals, there has to be some logic and there has to be some real world design elements in there. You know, if you need to have a little bit of crown molding in there, you got to have it. Or when you look at it, I may not have to design every bit and pieces of the structure, but when at first glance, because you see elements in the film only for 1 or 2 seconds, you know. So the first read, the first time that you glance upon, let's say, a prop or a location, it has to send a message that, yeah, it's convincingly that it's going to work and it's functional. So I guess my engineering sensibilities, you know, they always kick in when I do my design. So that's a good check and balance for me. So it comes in really happy.
Well, that's great. Thank you, Armand. We really appreciate it. And we know our audience is all going to see Zootopia this weekend. We loved hearing about you building the city and building this entire town, being part of that team. It's amazing to see what goes into these productions. I know Disney's, you know, notoriously tight-lipped about this. Are you allowed to tell us what you're working on next, or what you've worked on since Zootopia? What's coming up?
I'm working on the Frozen TV special. So that's what I'm working on. Yeah, there's no details yet that we can give other than the fact that it's Frozen.
All right, that's enough for our audience. Everyone's
Everybody
excited.
Knows Frozen, so, yeah, so that's what I'm working on, you know, at this point. So, but there's a lot of exciting things happening at Disney. So thank you very much also for having me on your show, Logan.
No, we are thrilled to have people that are making, you know, all of us and all of our kids, you know, happy each and every time we go to the movie theater. We really appreciate it, Armand. And hopefully we'll talk to you soon the next time you're allowed to talk to us about what's coming up later this year. So thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Take care.
And thanks to Garth, who helped us set that up at Disney PR. Thanks a lot, Garth. And thanks to Armand. A great inside look of what happens behind the scenes of a Walt Disney animated film. Not something that they can take lightly. Not something they can just throw out there. So it's pretty cool. The next bit of this that we have on the show is something special as well. We reached out to one of our friends who's going to be at our event at De Las Puertas coming up. The Big Fat Panda. You may have followed his YouTube channel, or maybe you follow him on the internet, on all his various outlets. He's a great guy, a friend of the show. It's been really helpful to us. And he got to see the movie and had a little special experience they did for the Walt Disney World fan community, and really the people that are majorly followed or majorly connected or have subscribers. They really want to get the word out and do something special for those guys. So here it is, our interview and our time with the Big Fat Panda himself, John Panda. So this is John, you may know him as Panda, Big Fat Panda, on the show today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much. It's my pleasure.
No, we love having you. Love your videos and everything you can do. And we'll give you ample time to promote whatever you'd like to promote. But what I'd like to do is talk to you a little bit about this film. You know, Terry C in this movie, that we're recording this right now, actually on a Monday, for you guys know, this portion of the broadcast. Terry's going tonight to a press screening. I'm going to have to wait till Thursday, and Will's going with me probably Thursday to see it as well. Tell us what you thought about the movie, and also what Disney did specifically for you guys who are local to Orlando and are in this community.
Okay, no spoilers if you're going to see it, because you really can't ruin this movie. It's a great movie. I was looking forward to it when I saw the trailer, especially the sloth trailer. I think we probably all saw.
Oh yeah, it's the best.
And yeah, you know, for some reason in the movie that scene comes across even funnier, and I don't know why. Like, I kept thinking, did they slow it down in the movie and it made it even funnier? I can't tell if, or it was just because it was on the big screen. In any event, that particular scene seemed funnier. But the overall message from the film, and it takes time, like going home and going over it in your mind, going, oh, that's like this, or that's like this in society today. And except, you know, instead of humans, it's animals. It's so the message, I think, is great. There's also, I don't want to give anything away, but there is a twist that I didn't expect. Even if someone told me there's a little bit of a twist, I didn't expect it. So it was a little bit involved, and I think that kids won't get the overall message, but they don't have to, because it's just great as it is. But the adults will definitely come away with it with a bigger message that for some reason just doesn't feel preachy.
That's awesome.
And it was entertaining from start to finish. I can't wait to see it again. I think this is one that I'll definitely have repeated viewings. Something like The Good Dinosaur, I could watch it once and be like, I loved it, but I don't need to see it over and over. This one, I think I need to see over and over.
Yeah, well, the Good Dinosaur stressed me out more than any movie I think I may have ever seen. I think I was in the theater going, okay, enough. But so
is there a panda in the movie? So, you know, were you looking for a panda sighting?
You know what? I did not see a panda in the movie.
Sequel.
And unfortunately, it's not Disney, but Kung Fu Panda is my thing, even though it's not Disney. But no, I didn't see a panda in the movie. I'm sure it's in there. If I play back like the city parts, I bet you there's a panda in the background.
There's got to be.
That's good. I can't wait to take my son, but it's interesting to hear from you that there is that sort of message that's coming with it. We've seen that, especially with Pixar films. We've seen that now with Disney films as well. Whether that was, there's some of that Big Hero 6, and you see that somewhat in the films that kind of were connected to that, but maybe not as specific as what you're saying in Zootopia. So I'm looking forward to him hopefully enjoying it as a kid, seeing a bunch of talking animals and having fun, and he loves that sloth. But then hopefully to have something that, you know, we can talk about later on. That's really great. Now, when it comes down to what Disney World, I was just following you guys and a few of our other friends on social media. What all went on down there for you guys?
You know what they did? They took us from Animal Kingdom. Some people who were out of town actually got to stay at Animal Kingdom. If you're local, they don't even put you up in a hotel.
So you should have just said, well, I'm not really local. It just looks like I am.
I know. They kind of know. After a while, you get to know everybody.
Yeah, yeah. And, when you're know, there every
they
day,
know where you
that
are.
Happens.
Yeah. But they did put them up at Animal Kingdom at about 5:30. A couple of buses came and picked us up to go from there to AMC, Disney Springs. We went some crazy back alleyway. We saw the movie, and then right after the movie, they usher you over to Animal Kingdom, and, you know, it was dark and night, but they went through the Avatar, back through Avatar, and it was really amazing if you could catch a little glimpse. And the gentleman I was with, actually, who even brought me, was Jim Hill of Jim Hill Media. What? And Jim Hill showed me, they're doing a thing with the safaris at night called Eternal Sunset.
Yeah, I saw an ad for that.
Yeah, if you look closely, we saw the lights for it, and it felt like sunset, like it didn't feel like lights. It was like, oh, okay, they're changing the weather now. And it really felt like, you know, this is the time of the day that it was. So it was nice to see that. And they had a band playing, like a bunch of African-type music. It was nothing really specific to Zootopia except for the characters, which, let me see if I get their name, Judy and Nick. Judy Hopps.
I think so. We're
Nick
looking at
Wilde.
The press kit in front of us. I think that's right. I think you nailed
it. Yeah, those two were there, and it was really fun to see them right after the movie because it felt like, okay, they're really here. And they fed us some crazy African concoctions that I don't even remember what they were, like a turkey and a beef and stuff. It was really nice. And it was contained in that little new area in Harambe with that little new eating area in Harambe. So it was kind of a very small, intimate thing that they did. It was just nice. And it was probably for about 2 hours only until they kind of threw you out. They kind of told you.
Now, you've seen those characters now. For a lot of our fans that are kind of character collectors in some ways, obviously you've had the rare experience of meeting them. Pretty cool. They look pretty screen accurate.
They were completely screen accurate. Yeah, I went a little crazy. The kid in me comes out and I'm like talking to them as though I just, you know, your film was so good. And I can only imagine that, you know, the real people are like, you're crazy. In any event, Judy Hopps, that character grows on you. And it's funny because it's that lady from Once Upon a Time, Jennifer.
Yeah, Jennifer yes. Goodwin. Is
Jennifer Goodwin, yeah. Yeah. She really grows on you. I mean, so does Nick. So does Nick. And I heard that when they were making the movie, like literally they made like 25% of the movie or so. And Nick, Jason Bateman's character, was the focus character. And they literally rewrote the movie and threw out all the animation to say, no, it's Judy's movie. It's not his. So that's very interesting when that happens to me when that happens to them, because I think with all the storyboards, you didn't see this coming. And apparently the story wasn't working for them and they reworked it. But it's hard to believe this movie wasn't going to be anything but completely, you know, 100% tomato meter amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I expected. Honestly, I expected more of a Nick-centered film just from the marketing. So it's good to know that there's some interesting elements that we weren't expecting coming up.
With Good Dinosaur, I expected it to be absolutely incredible reviews, and it was the opposite. So I just can't predict it anymore.
What would you compare this film to in the back catalog? What are we looking at here?
You know, I think it's really, really different. I'm going through Disney movies in my mind, and I cannot equate it to anything else that they've done. I'm sure I'll rethink this later and I'll have a title for you, but it felt extremely different to me than everything else.
That's a positive.
That's encouraging. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited
about that. As we record this, you're right. Right now, as of Rotten Tomatoes right now, it's 100% on Zootopia, which is...
I'm waiting for the person who wants to be read on...
There always is.
Rotten Tomatoes to do a negative, but I think when they see this movie, they're like, no, nah, it's really good. We can't write a negative review on this.
All right. So Terry, no reviews from you. I don't know if you're Rotten Tomatoes approved, but you're going tonight. Please don't ruin it.
Terry, you're going tonight?
Yes, going tonight.
Terry has a press screening tonight.
Oh, I'm very jealous right now.
I am too.
Wait again till the 4th.
These guys could go too. I got tickets for the whole show, and then I found out they were going, you know.
We're going to WWE.
They're going to WWE Raw. It didn't invite me, so, you know, I don't feel too sorry about the press screening.
Expensive tickets, man. I can't just throw them out there, man. It is what it is.
Don't get to the theater late. Make sure you see the beginning, because the beginning sets it up very well.
Anything post-credits. I feel like that's something we should always spoil for people.
Well, this is weird because sometimes during the media preview there is nothing, and then there is in the movie. So there was not for us, and we were, you know, I checked it online. There's like an app, I think it's called After Credits.
Yeah,
or something.
What's after the credits? Yeah.
Right, and there was nothing. But that doesn't mean that on March 4th, when it's in the theater, there may be something. So.
That's right. Hopefully everyone will know by now. This episode will release on release date. So if you haven't seen the film, if this is the morning you're watching up, we encourage you. We've heard two so far awesome things. We've heard from Panda, who has said it's great. Terry, I'm sure, is going to come back with his feedback from tonight. And then, obviously, Armand Serrano. He worked on the film, was part of the layout department, built this city, and really spent a lot of time on the film. Great to talk to you, Panda. And what's something else coming up is you're going to be joining us for our big event coming in the fall, and that is De Las Puertas, which is our...
Cannot wait.
Yeah, which is our magic media and music festival, and we can't wait to have you out there mingling, talking to people, talking to us. I look forward to meeting you in person, and I think it's going to be a fun time. I hope you like it. I hope all the people that tickets are going well. So if you want tickets, you can still get them at dlpfest.com or get your travel packages from Off to Neverland. But I can't wait to see you there. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I can't wait to go. And it's literally like I can walk to it from my house, which is pretty amazing.
Which is good because people have asked, is there beer and wine available? And there is. So you're in walking
distance.
There is.
Right at my house. Just come over to my house.
If not,
I'll bring
we
it.
Can all go walk over to Panda's house. And
after party at the Panda Hut.
After party at the Panda Hut.
Absolutely. It's not going to be half as exciting as what you got going on over there, though.
Well, we look forward to meeting you there. And I'm actually going to be in Disney World in a couple weeks. So hopefully I run into you. Well, I'll try to follow you and see where you are. Thank you so much, Panda.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Can't wait to do more.
Hey, what's the best way people can find out what you're doing online?
BigFatPanda.com. That leads to everything.
Great.
Everything in general, not just his stuff. It just leads to
the
world.
You can Google.
leads to everything.
Well, thank you so much, Panda. And John Panda, thank you so much. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon. Try to keep it all together. Nothing lasts forever. The times you gotta wait and see. All right, if you want to follow John, just go to BigFatPanda.com. And again, he'll be out at our festival. We want to see you there, too. Now, Terry had the opportunity, unlike us, to see the movie.
Yeah, Terry decided to go without us. Yeah. Actually, we had prior engagements.
We had prior engagements.
He did invite us. We want to thank him for that. I'm really excited about hearing his thoughts because great minds think alike on this show, so I'm interested to hear what he has to say about the film.
Yeah, and Will and I will follow up in the next weeks about what we thought about the movie, but here is Terry's quick review of Zootopia in theaters now.
Well, thanks, guys. Well, this is Terry, and I am just getting back from a screening of seeing Zootopia. And let me tell you what, guys, this movie is fantastic. I loved it. My wife loved it. We went with a group. We took a group of friends. They all loved it. The movie was just fantastic. It was endearing. Like, it very much was reminiscent of Disney classics back when Walt was creating movies. It just had this really endearing thing where you sort of just fell in love with the characters. And I think you guys are truly going to fall in love with some of these characters. Judy Hopps, voiced by Jennifer Goodwin, was just absolutely fantastic. You kind of meet her in her old small town, and you meet her parents, and you really just kind of begin to kind of feel her underdog story kind of as it unfolds. You really just, you kind of feel like she's a member of your family. You feel like her parents are maybe some strange distant cousins that you had. She encounters, of course, Nick Wilde when she gets to the big city of Zootopia. And the other characters that you meet, I know you've seen some of them from the trailer, like Flash, the Sloth, and Mr. Big, the little rat there. And, of course, you're going to meet Benjamin Clawhauser, who I think is one of my favorite characters in the movie. Just really fun. There's lots of unexpected turns. I just read a review from Forbes, and they called Zootopia the best Disney film since Beauty and the Beast. And I don't know that I would go that far. I definitely like this movie better than I enjoyed Frozen. My wife liked this movie better than Frozen. And Frozen was fantastic in all senses. But this movie just had something special. The little tie-ins like Zuber and, you know, I think there's one like Poochie or all these fake companies that are sort of nods to real companies. If you've been to the theater and seen any of the posters or the props kind of promoting the movie, super fun. I really, really like this movie, and I think you guys are really going to like it. I think it's going to be one that you're going to be excited to go to the parks, hopefully, and be able to meet Judy Hopps and Nick Wilde. I know at the preview that the Panda was telling us about, they were out. I really think this is going to be one of those Disney movies that's a classic. I think it's going to be one that you're going to want to go see in the theaters more than once. I know I do. I saw it in 3D, and the 3D was great, and I normally don't like 3D movies. They really did something special. All the worlds that Armand mentioned earlier in the show, of all the little areas of Zootopia, really cool. The one thing that was kind of different for me is there's a character called Gazelle that's voiced by Shakira. And, you know, it's a little different take on a Disney movie with music. Normally the music is one of the things that kind of, draws you in emotionally to the movie. And I think that it was kind of the one thing it's not that I don't like Shakira. It didn't make me love the movie more. But the character she plays is kind of fun. The whole story is a lot of fun. I can't wait for you guys to go and see this movie. And I think this is one that you're not going to want to miss.
Thanks, Terry. And this off-property episode, as usual, brought to you by Off to Neverland. As Will likes to say,
all you got to do is pack.
That's right. All you got to do is pack. Reach out to their magic makers. Plan a great vacation. Of course, our buddies at Off Kilter as well. Go to offkilter.net for the greatest band in podcasting. Well, I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
Terry's somewhere else. He's probably out watching the movie again. We'll talk to you on the next show. Have a good day.